Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the wonderful Wheel of Life and another international transmission of You Can't See Us with Starfire and Charlie.
Yes. All right, bitches. I think we got everything working. We had some technical difficulties there a minute ago, but...
But we've got a full house tonight. The entire band is now here in studio. It's our first full band podcast, I suppose.
Yes.
Ever in the history of You Can't See Us.
I'm excited.
It's exciting. It's an exciting moment.
Just about to bust.
E.T. and I, right out of the gates, we were part of history on Wednesday.
You're damn right we were.
Tell them about it, E.T.
We went and saw Ron Paul speak, and it was absolutely awesome down in Fort Worth.
Where'd you see him at?
The Will Rogers Memorial Center.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's fucking historic, man.
Over 3,000 people.
Yeah.
What did you learn?
Well, I've heard all his speeches since he started. So he just reiterates everything, but he did say that if you wanted to get high off hemp, you'd have to smoke a joint the size of a foam pole.
Yeah, he did say that.
So
he was talking about growing hemp and how we can't grow hemp because it looks like marijuana. And he was like, and to get high off of it, you'd have to smoke a joint the size of a telephone pole.
Yeah, I don't think you would even get high then, if you...
Yeah.
Well, first of all, you'd probably die.
Yeah.
From smoke inhalation. But even then, there's not any THC in the hemp plant.
So. Yeah.
But it was great. Me and Shelley had a blast. And it was packed, and we got to get in 30 minutes for the regular people.
We had really good seats.
Yeah, we got like 9th row.
How'd you do that?
Well, they just knew us.
Yeah. Charlie Shafter. And... So the podcast just, and
you just called, you just said, hey, we're field reporting for You Can't See Us. Can we get in a little early before these other fucks? And they were like,
well, Charlie took care of all that.
Yeah, that's basically how it happened.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you big time them?
Yeah, I big timed them. Well, not musically, just with podcastly. We were a news source. Yeah.
Don't you know who I am?
And all I did was say, I'm with him.
That's good.
So. Now, and all I had to say, to do it when they were like, I was like, I need, you know, to get in early to, we're going to do a story about this for our news segment. You know, we have a news show and, you know, sort of a show. And they were like, well, what's the news show? I was like, well, you can see us right now. And they were like, oh my God, are you kidding me? They freaked out. They were like, who are you? And I was like, I'm Charlie. He was like, they were like, we're Starfire. And I was like, well, he couldn't come.
Yeah.
But they're like, you must be Eric then. And they were freaking out.
Yeah. So we got whisked right on in after that.
Fans everywhere.
Yeah.
That's great news.
It was really good news.
So, Charlie Shafter reporting.
Well,
what did you learn?
There was nothing that I really learned that I didn't know. All I just learned about it was really cool to see how many people were there and how many different types of people.
How many people would you say were there?
Over 3,000, for sure. It was sold out. It was capacity 3,000. And they let people stand because there were no seats left.
Yeah.
Wow. Were there people like out front, like protesting, like Ron Paul's not as handsome as Mitt Romney and stuff like that?
There was one person that was out there that was had. No, there was nobody.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good.
It was pretty cool, though. It was. I mean, what do you got to say about it, E.T.? You were listening pretty intently there.
Yeah, well, I just think it was very historic to say, you know, 30 years from now that you'd be able to look back and say, I heard that guy speak.
Right.
You know, because...
You remember when he was Congressman Ron Paul and not President Ron Paul.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you liken it to the First Revolution, you know, it's like a historic figure speaking, man, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty fucking cool, man.
He's so fucking historic and so truthful in what he says that regular people think he's nuts. Now, how fucked up is that?
Yeah, it's
so
crazy.
My question is, was he as ugly in person as he is? Because, I mean, that's probably why I wouldn't vote for him, is because he's so ugly. I mean, Starfire's voiced his opinion on the matter many times.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's just so old, man.
He's old and he's just ugly and...
Yeah, Mitt Romney.
He's not very cool.
It's so cool and hip and happening.
And Mormon.
He's got all that money.
Slicks, tailored suits.
And his wife is so hot. And...
Man, have you guys looked at Mitt Romney and some of the shit that he's done?
Yeah.
Like, he's talking about creating jobs and how many jobs Obama has lost, you know, for people and shit.
Right.
That's all Mitt Romney does is go around and he's fucking Richard Gere from Pretty Woman. And he just buys up corporations and he sells them and thousands of people lose their jobs.
We all know what happened to Richard Gere.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that's
Dr. T and the women.
Not exactly the same thing. We could, you never know, man.
Should we were talking earlier about how to get verified on Twitter. Not that any of us, I think Starfire is now on Twitter, everybody, by the way.
Right, Starfire OTM.
Eric Tar is also on Twitter.
Yeah, yep. Eric G. Tar.
Eric G. Tar.
Yeah.
So follow them too. If you're not following Grady Dunn and Daniel and I, follow us. But also, we're thinking about we need to get Starfire verified.
Yeah, because there's a lot of impersonators and imposters out there.
Haters.
And, yeah, haters. I think that's a proper term.
Speaking of haters, I got a question from Dave Martinez, the Dave Martinez.
The Dave.
Okay, what does this fellow have to say?
I'm not saying that he's a hater, but he's asked, are haters really always going to hate?
Did he really bring up haters?
Uh-huh.
Just, wow.
That's he's into it with us, man.
This is some synchronicity right here.
We might need to have him as a guest
on
the podcast.
This guy,
sometime.
Dave Martinez, always contacts me and all of us, I've noticed, on any social networking about us playing in Lubbock.
And he's a musician himself.
I've never met the dude, I don't think.
He has an awesome mustache, I've seen his picture on his...
yeah, I've seen that too.
Whatnot. Yeah,
as a hater... I would like to field this one.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, Grady, why don't you fill us in?
As a hater, I would say I'm not always going to hate. I try a lot of times to love, to lift up what I once was trying to break down. I will continue to hate. The hate will continue to grow inside of me, much like the love does for some people. But I'm going to continue to try and fight it. I'm just recognizing that, yeah, I do tend to hate things sometimes.
Right.
But and I got to try to love them.
So I think the answer to the question is, Dave, is that no, haters don't always hate. Just the majority of the time they hate.
And I ain't always going
to
hate.
And some things just need to be hated.
Yeah.
That's true.
But so. I think we can sum this up by saying haters going to hate.
And there's always going to be haters. So you can't get down about haters. If they're hating... Fuck it, you know? You can't get down about that shit.
Okay, so also, why don't we call William Clark Green and ask him how he got verified?
You think we should?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's see.
Being that I'm new to the Twitter, what does verification mean? What are you talking about?
It means
about?
You're fucking famous.
Really?
It means like it's not like, an imposter. Let's say
you're bona fide.
Let's say I opened a Twitter account today that said... It wasn't Eric G. Tar. I just said Eric Tar, and then in my bio I said I am the real Eric Tar, and then I start talking stuff about how much I hate Ron Paul, how I just found a guitar on my floor today and I don't know how it works. All this stuff. I just hate on you.
All right, you might want to change the subject.
No. But he's saying that would be wrong, and then you would get verified, so that people know that person isn't.
And people,
and then you would say, "This is a hater over here, folks."
Yeah, right. This isn't the real dude. He's not verified.
I tried to get the real Starfire, and there's somebody else. There's some hater out there.
I want to be bona fide on Twitter.
Yeah, that would be great.
All right, let's see if we can get Big Oil on the line here.
What's up, you motherfucker?
What's going on there?
What's up?
Not much. What are you doing?
Well, we're podcasting. We've got some questions for
you. Damn it. All right. What's up?
Are you following Starfire on Twitter?
I sure am.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We want to know how he gets verified. You're verified. How did you get verified?
I don't have no idea.
Well, you're verified.
What does that mean?
You're verified on Twitter.
Yeah, you got that little blue check mark there that keeps the haters away.
Oh.
Lets everyone know that you're you.
Why would I not be me?
Well, the thing is you have a verification. You're verified. Not everybody's verified. I'm not verified. How did you become verified?
I have no idea.
Thank you for your help.
I think I'll call this one guy. I have no idea.
What's
what are y'all up to? When's your record coming out?
It's out.
It's it'll be out right around 2014.
Hey, you always say that.
No, it'll seriously be out this summer for sure.
Okay, cool. Okay, am I ever going to hear the song we wrote off it before it comes out?
Probably not.
You're going to have to wait.
That's all right.
Well, if you come over to my house or something, I'm not going to send it to you.
Come see us play live.
We just drove to...
You did? Why don't you stop and say hi?
We're running late.
Where are you guys playing tonight?
We're playing with the old Josh Abbott band.
Are you on the road right now?
Yeah.
Because your phone...
We're in Oklahoma.
The reception on your phone sucks.
Yeah, so we're going to have to cut you off.
Let's play golf sometime, Will.
Well, I can't really hear you guys, but I love y'all very much, and I hope we can see y'all soon.
Okay, we love you. You know, keep that road clean.
Yeah.
That is the way.
That's right. The light and the truth.
Talk to you later.
All right, drive safe.
Turn your head round. Lay on the ground. You've been round. Wake up. Open the door. Lay on the floor. You've been round. Oh. You know we need this money. Just roll with me. Let's go off together on this Robin spree. We'll make money.
I'm gonna tell a story.
Okay.
This all started with a raccoon. Last night I woke up at 4:30 in the morning, and I thought my blinds were just blowing around crazy because the wind was blowing through my house like it always does. And I was like, cool. But I got to make sure nobody was breaking into my house. And I looked and I saw, but there was a cat in my house and it ran out the window as soon as I walked into my kitchen. And I was like, oh shit, crap. And so I laid back down, you know, I didn't think anything about it. Maybe 10 minutes later, I started hearing things like falling. And like, I was like, there is something in my house.
There's a creature.
That's what I thought. And I went in there and there's a raccoon going through my cabinets. And then it saw me and it took out the window, and then I was like yelling at it, because all I could think of to do, I didn't have anything to like throw at it or anything. Yeah. And it's just like, and it peeks back in at me, and I yelled at it again, and it zoomed, like I heard it run down the stairs. I'm like, shit,
that is amazing.
Yeah, I was like, this is Friday the 13th, I guess.
You should have kept him for a pet, man.
I know, right? I couldn't leash him. You know,
call him Davy Crockett.
It was dark, and I was still like half asleep, and I wasn't sure if it was really happening or not. I was like, that's a fucking raccoon.
He could have played ukulele in our band. We could get the squirrel from the greenhouse.
Wow. Mike the coon. I need some more coon in my...
You know, that's terrifying, because that, if you didn't know that that was there, and if you just like went in to, you know, go like get a drink of water, that raccoon could fuck you up.
Man. Yeah, dude, those things are evil.
I mean...
And what if you close the window? You're like, hey, it's getting a little chilly, and close the window. And then you're trapped in your apartment with a fucking raccoon.
That's what I'm terrified. I've always been afraid of a squirrel like coming into my house.
A squirrel came into my house one time.
Are you serious?
On 17th in Chicago. I think I may have told this story on the podcast before, though.
Oh, that's all right. We repeat shit all the time.
Yeah, well, so this squirrel comes into the house. Well, I mean, here's what happened. We had sliding back doors. Octagonopus and Drew and I lived together. And I'm letting Dylan out, who's my dog. And I let him out the front door or the back sliding door, and he runs out there. And apparently he sees a squirrel, but I don't shut it behind me. And all of a sudden, here comes this squirrel running into the house and Dylan chasing after him. And he gets on the mantle and is like running around. I'm just
squirrel!
I'm it's literally like Christmas vacation.
Yeah.
I'm freaking out, and so I just go lock myself and Dylan into my room, and I'm just in there in the fetal position pretty much, just crying. And
That's great.
And so finally I see Drew comes home, and I just wait, figuring the squirrel would just go out, you know, on its own. So I wait in there, you know, I hang out in there, just, you know, chill, listen to music, hang out in there for about an hour. Come out, and Drew's home, and he's like, I told him the story, he didn't believe me. He was like, shut, a squirrel didn't come in here, dude. I was like, a squirrel came in here. And I shut the door, you know, and we're sitting on the couch for a while watching a movie. I get up to go to my room, and I hear Drew in the other room go, you were fucking lying! You were fucking lying! And the squirrel, he said it came out from under the couch while he was sitting on it and ran into the kitchen. So we open it up and finally get it cornered in the garage, and we're like, we gotta get it the hell, how do we get it out of the garage? And so we open up the garage, and it runs right past
us. How long was it in the house?
Probably 3 hours.
That's great.
It was somewhere along that the lines of like 3 hours. I was freaking out. It was so scary.
Jesus.
Because they're so quick.
Oh, yeah, man.
They jump around. They're jumped up onto the mantle because Dylan
scared.
Was chasing it.
They're scared, too, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Because Dylan, I mean, they're running for their life, you know? Dylan would have killed that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Cause he's a squirrel killer.
Yeah, he'll kill a squirrel. I don't, he's never has, but he tries.
You remember that that baby possum you saw at my house last week? They I think a mama possum, I'm guessing a female, had baby possums in our little garage shed building there, and the dogs have been killing them like crazy.
Oh, man.
Think we've seen three since that one.
Oh my
shit.
Gosh!
Yeah. It doesn't bother me so much. It doesn't really bother me at all. I don't really have anything against possums. I wish they would eat them rather than just kill them and leave them to decay in my backyard.
Yeah.
That's half the fun, though, Grady.
Yeah.
I love that.
Apparently so. So much fun they had to do it a second, third, and fourth time.
Jeez. Those poor possums. Did you go in there and check it out and see if there was more?
No, it's
kind of scary. You don't want to run into a possum.
Those poor possums.
Those poor possums. Possums, possums, oh, possums.
Oh, possums. Yeah, man, the wildlife around here is crazy.
It's insane, man.
We've got a new addition to the animal house. We've got possums and raccoons and squirrels and all kinds of shit living here. And now we have birds living up by the porch.
I was standing out there talking on the phone, all of a sudden I heard like bird fly.
There's a very small hole, like the size of a quarter, and this mama bird goes in there. I've seen her with like bugs and caterpillars and worms and shit in her mouth, and she'll go in there and you can hear these tiny little birds chirping in there.
Cool.
So she's feeding the little babies.
Yeah, and I had to fucking pull my cat Hooch off of the goddamn wall the other day because he was trying to climb up the thing.
What does it look like?
The bird?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a brown bird. It's not a pretty
like a sparrow?
Colorful. I mean, it's a pretty bird, but it's not like a bright, colorful one.
We had barn swallows at Jessica's old place. They were awesome. They're really pretty. Barn swallows are like a really pretty bird, and it's like people have them tattooed on themselves a lot, or they're like on Western shirts, and I'm like, oh, I really like those the swallows on your shirt. They're like, no, that's a sparrow. But a sparrow is a very plain-looking bird.
Right.
Small, plain-looking bird.
Swallow has, like, the big chest, right?
Yeah, and they're very colorful, and you can see when they're diving, that's what... They have, like, a split tail.
Yeah.
And you can tell
that's the image that's used a lot of times.
But I guess people confuse them.
Barn owls are pretty cool, too. Those white barn owls.
Uh-huh.
I was driving on 27 from Amarillo to Lubbock, like, in the middle of the night one time. And I'm just driving, and all of a sudden, a barn owl is standing in the middle of the highway, and I thought I was about to get abducted.
Was it a dream barn owl?
This happened. It was a barn owl.
I know, but I mean, they can appear in real life.
No, they were in... This was real life. What are you talking about?
Because it's also very common to see things like owls or remember seeing things like owls when you've gotten abducted.
Exactly. So maybe I was abducted.
Yeah, because they fuck with your memory like that. So you either way, whether that happened or whether it was an abduction and they implanted that memory in you, either way, you're going to think, oh, I saw this owl.
Yeah, that's.
So I don't think any of us really know what happened to you.
No, probably not.
No.
I also like red-tailed hawks.
I haven't seen a red-tailed hawk. I saw a thunderbird the other day.
You've seen plenty of red-tailed hawks. When you're driving on the highway out to Lubbock, they're on. They're the birds that are up on. Okay. You know, those are red-tailed hawks.
They're big. I always thought those were thunderbirds.
I love the great horned owl because in all the medicinal purposes you can get from
it's
urine.
Are you sure those aren't like baby thunderbirds? They grow up to be bigger. Like 60 feet?
I'm no cryptozoologist, wingspan. But I'm gonna go ahead and say that they're probably hawks.
We saw a bunch of thunderbirds at Jarrett's house the other day.
I mean, I've seen a fucking thunderbird.
No, but the thunderbird is brown and has the white tips on the wings. The red-tailed hawk is like spotted. It's almost like speckled.
Maybe we're thinking of teratorns.
I don't know. Whatever it was huge. Probably 60-foot wingspan.
Yeah.
That thing was huge, man.
Massive.
Yep.
So you guys were talking about some E.T., you heard about some Squatch video or...
Well, I told him about it. So I was doing some of my Squatching research. And so I guess there's this guy, and his last name is Freeman, actually. And it's, what's his first name?
I can't remember his first name.
Yeah, but he's supposedly the most famous Squatch hunter ever and saw him all the time. And there's a video out there called the Freeman footage where he runs in to not one but two, a mom and a baby Sasquatch.
Where does this take place?
Pacific Northwest in Washington.
Of course.
And...
Oh, it's that place is lousy with squatches.
Yeah.
It's squatchy territory, yeah. For sure.
But, I mean, it's the most convincing footage I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's really
good. Mama and a baby, huh?
Well, yeah, so he finds these footprints, and he goes up there all the time, takes a video camera, and films what he finds. He finds these footprints on a water hole where he's been before, where they've been before, and he's seen footprints, and he finds more. But he sees them and they're fresh. There's still like muddy water in the prints where they're walking.
Yeah.
And so he follows the tracks. He casts the tracks first.
Yeah.
He does a cast of the tracks and is just waiting for them to dry. And he walks up the hill and just while he's waiting for them to dry and he's just filming around in there. And all of a sudden he just sees one. And it's got a big belly like it was fucking pregnant. And, I mean, it's an old video. It's probably in the 90s, you know. Yeah. But it's not great footage, but you can tell that the thing is
It's probably massive. Better than the footage from the 70s yeah. that everybody's been looking
exactly.
at.
Exactly. So it kind of just looks at him, turns and looks at him a couple of times, and just walks casually off in the opposite direction. And he kind of goes around the corner to try to head it off and get more footage of it. And a little one comes out. A little one comes out like it's going to meet.
So now I just had to ask you this, since it's a female Bigfoot.
Yeah.
did it have bitch tits?
Big boobs.
Well, you can't really tell. They're
probably covered with hair.
Okay. Yeah. But, right? So you couldn't tell if it was.
But the thing about this guy's story is not just that. Is not just that one video. I mean, he talks about how he used to go out there and set. He would go out there like a couple hours before sunrise.
Did you see the 3-part interview?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And he would sit there all day long and not make a noise for every day.
Yeah, every
day.
He
goes, you sit there long enough, you'll see one. He goes, they see you all the time.
So does he have more footage?
No, not footage, videotaped. He's seen them several times, but yeah. Only one videotape. His brother-in-law gave him a video camera, and he's like, you need to take this out there.
Yeah, come on, dude.
Well, he's just his country boy.
His country dude.
This old country guy, there. Yeah.
And, I mean, he saw it one time on accident while he was walking around, and then he was like, some people get hooked on fishing. I got hooked on just going to find these things.
But what the deal was is he didn't want to tell anybody because he didn't want people coming up there trying to kill him.
And he said if he ever sees him again, he won't take a picture of him. He won't tell anybody about it. He's not going to tell him where they are.
You know, that's true. I never thought about that.
And like, then I guess he
there's
died.
There's some evil motherfuckers out there.
Yeah. Didn't he die and swear on that on his deathbed?
Yeah, on his deathbed he died and was like, they asked him, you know, did you really see that? He's like, they are real. They, you know... They exist. I'm not fucking around, you know?
Hmm.
He was really impressive to hear him talk about it. Because there's like an hour-long interview with him. It's really, it's got that noise going on in the background that you got to get over. But these, it's a kind really
of like
cool
parts of this podcast sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He just sits there and he's either like, yeah, you can believe me if you want. If you don't, I don't care.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know?
I want to see the footage.
He goes, I've spent probably...
YouTube.
So YouTube, the Freeman footage?
Yeah, Freeman footage, Bigfoot, you know?
So is he still alive? I can't remember. Did you?
No, he died.
He died.
He died in 2003 or something like that.
Okay, but he gave interviews.
Well, I think he only gave like two interviews.
Yeah, I think this the 3-part interview I think was from 2000.
Yeah, right before. Yeah, right like a couple years before he died.
That's interesting. That's fucking interesting, man.
And he would just literally go out. He said one summer he saw him twice, but to see him twice he spent 4,000 hours in the woods.
Shit.
That's a lot of hours, man. I mean,
yeah.
Holy cow.
And he talked about it. He goes, well, you think I'm crazy? He goes, but, you know, I didn't have the money to do this. I spent $100,000 of my own money and lost a couple houses and just to pursue this.
Yeah.
To go out there and do that.
I haven't made a dime. He said, he made $20,000 off of the $100,000 that he put into it. I think he wrote a book or something and made $20,000 off of it or something.
Whoa.
Mm.
He should get into our racket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're the squatch hunting musicians.
Yep. Podcasting, squatch hunting musicians.
Ass squashing.
We got another question here. When are you coming back to Abilene? Date on the new CD yet? See any UFOs lately?
Hmm.
No Let's UFOs see. To speak of.
Wait, what were the questions again?
When are you going to come back to Abilene? Abilene will probably be back in a year from now at that festival.
So I don't know. Probably the end of summer, and no, nothing recently.
Isn't there a club out there to play?
We put.
I don't know. Maybe
there could be. If there's a
yeah. Where should we write in? You can actually. You can always email us at starfireandcharlie@gmail.com, and write in and tell us where you'd like to see us play in Abilene.
Yeah, well, especially if there's like a cool club in your area that you just really would love to see.
And we're available for private parties.
We are available.
You could have a private party. You could throw a party. You could get us some beer and a place to crash.
Several thousand dollars, and then we can we'll do it.
Just our normal deal. Mm-hmm. We'll cut you the normal deal.
Yep.
Several thousand dollars. Several hotel rooms.
Several girdles.
Several several units of beer.
Yeah. Yeah. We've done all kinds of gigs.
So yeah, it's up to you. Who's asking that question?
Nicole Lynn.
Nicole, it's up to you. If you want to hire us for a private party, please do. We'd love to come and play for you and your friends or people you don't like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
play for your enemies.
Let us know of a really bitchin' club that we should play at.
Yeah.
In your area.
Abilene, prettiest town.
Because we played a festival down there that was a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a great
time. I'm guessing she was there.
Okay.
Right? Could be. You know, you wouldn't... If you lived in Abilene and you were into Texas country music, you would not miss that.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you live in Abilene and you miss that festival, unless Nicole missed that festival, then that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, we forgive you. But if you miss that kind of sucks, because that's like something that's really cool going on over
there. Yeah, it is.
What if she was on a...
Outlaws and Legends.
Oh, that was it, yeah.
What if she was on like a peyote journey?
Well, I was. I mean, I don't know about you guys. Well,
I think you were on a different kind of journey.
My teeth are still covered in dirt and hooker spit.
Oh, man.
I sit alone most every night, watch those trains pull out of sight. Don't I wish they were carrying me back to Abilene, my Abilene. Abilene, Abilene, prettiest town. There
You're hearing the voice of Grady Don Sandlin speaking to you right now.
From the internet, from the wild world of the web.
And Daniel Markham, I call him Larry, and I went to see the great Reverend Horton Heat last night. At Dan Silverleaf. I guess he's playing around the Metroplex, doing like a, called like a tour of DFW. I think it's 7 shows.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe the Dan show might have been the first.
I think it was.
But people, get out and see this man if you're at all interested in rockabilly music or Texas music or music.
Or just having a good time at a show.
Yeah.
Like just all good.
Yeah, I saw him when I was like 15 and I knew nothing about the band and I was amazed.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of the rockabilly fan.
Yeah.
I love rockabilly music.
They just put on a good show though.
Like, well, yeah. Oh no. I mean, it's that's what I'm saying. The fan though, I just noticed a little bit of like a just sort of, I got bumped into a lot. You know, people, like when we were standing over by the bar, we had a really good seat where we could see well and not really hear particularly well, so we moved. But people were just bumping into me, like,
yeah,
you know, like, and then I kind of turn around and look, expecting them to
say sorry.
Yeah. And just sort of like, yeah, bumped into you, man.
You'd fuck over it.
Yeah.
They were hating, or were you hating?
I'm not sure. There was something, it's just rude, you know, whatever. That's my bar, and there's a bunch of people I never see there, I guess, unless there's a damn rockabilly show.
Yeah, lots of pomade.
Yeah, I got no problem with that. You know, people like to...
Pomade smells good.
It does.
And it looks good.
People like to dress up to their music. Don't you notice that?
Yeah.
I wore my black boots and black pants. And
I mean, there's nothing... I have no problem with that. It's just the, you know, people being shitty.
Shitty people.
Yeah, and
it's shitty people out there.
People don't mosh anymore. I mean, it's 2012.
It was a great show, except for the fucking assholes.
Right, yeah.
Shitty people being shitty.
There was a mosh pit.
Yeah, who still moshes? I mean...
Especially, it was a bunch of guys older than us.
To a rockabilly concert.
Yeah.
They literally moshed.
In dance, yeah.
It's always people who moshed in the 90s that still want to do it.
Yeah.
It's like, nobody wants to do that shit anymore, man. Come on.
Speaking of...
We're all too old.
Yeah.
Speaking of Dan's, there's been probably several times since I've had Dan's number that I've called him on accident because I'm trying to call Daniel Markham.
Well, our initials...
He never answers. He probably thinks I'm stalking him or something, but I keep doing it on accident. I'm talking like it's been...
Not that fucking Charlie Shafter.
This guy calls me all the time, man. I don't...
Hey, Grady, what's the deal with this guy?
No, but and so I let it go to the voicemail, and I'm like, shit, you know, because it's the wrong one.
He thinks you're calling, not leaving a message.
Or
he's just like, why do I get these messages that just say shit from Charlie Shafter? Like, is he really mad at me?
God damn it.
He's just calling and cussing me out.
No, one day when I was looking for my guitar that day,
yeah,
I was calling Dan because he wasn't answering over and over again. And I thought that it was, and then I looked, and it wasn't Daniel Markham, it was Dan. And so I called him like 5 times in a row.
You call him that 5th time and leave him a message going, hey man, sorry.
No, I still haven't left him a message. I'm kind of interested to see what he thinks.
Oh, I'm sure he listens to the podcast. He knows now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so he's in on it now.
The world's listening.
He's gonna start calling you and just saying "fuck,"
man. You know what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna change your number, Dan, to Larry.
That sounds good.
Yeah,
yeah. I respond to that name.
All right.
In most cases,
it's in my phone is Crazy Larry.
I have so many nicknames, man. I don't know which cape to wear. You know.
What was the one, Steve? The guitar player.
Dirty Steve?
Yeah. Oh, Dirty Steve Larson?
Yeah. That's a freaking great nickname, man.
Dirty Steve.
Who is Dirty Steve Larson?
Well, he did play guitar for Roger Klein, the Peacemaker, several years ago, but I don't know what he's doing now.
Just being Dirty Steve.
I don't know.
He's being Dirty Steve somewhere.
Why did they call him Dirty Steve? Because was he like an awesome guitar player, or was he like dirty?
No, he was great, man. No, he wasn't dirty.
He just never took a bath.
He was just
man.
One of those guys. I don't really. I don't know why they called him that. Maybe he didn't shower on the road or something, but I just opened up for a couple times, those guys, and he was great.
Dirty Steve.
But I know he hasn't played with them in a while, so I don't know who's they got. Or
Dirty Steve, if you're out there, get in touch with us.
Yes.
We always email us at starfireandcharlie@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter, dude.
Yes. Yeah, send it out there. Let us know.
We need a You Can't See Us Twitter, I think.
Yeah, you think so?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who wants to? I don't want to run it, though. I have enough time.
I'll do it.
Okay, do it.
All right.
Larry's on it.
Right on.
Make sure and verify it.
I'll get it verified.
It's got it, because there's a lot of haters out there.
And we're going to be selling You Can't See Us t-shirts pretty damn soon.
Too, yeah, those are in the works.
Yeah.
Those Fantastic. Are coming down the pipeline real soon. So, and I don't know how many there's going to be, folks, so you better get them while they're available.
Yeah. I don't know how you make an online store. I need to figure that out.
Oh, we can do it. I got you covered.
All right, right on.
We got a question, guys.
We do?
Yeah, we do. Andy Odom asks, what's the best rhythm section of all time?
George Reef and Rick Richards.
Hands down, man. They rock.
At least of that's going on right now, in my opinion.
All time.
George Reef and Rick Richards play bass and drums for Ray Wiley Hubbard and
Joe Walsh
and a lot of other people, and they're fucking badass. I would say that they're up there with some of the best, man.
What about John Paul Jones, man?
Yeah, you're right. Okay, John Paul Jones and
John Bonham, or anybody Bonham. That John Paul Jones plays with. I mean, it's like
Bonzo is one of my favorite drummers of all time.
Yeah.
He was an incredible drummer.
I like Kenny Butchery and Tim Drummond. Yeah. I'm not a Harvest like one of the people who says that's not my favorite Neil Young album, and I don't think it's his best. But mostly because I don't really like the orchestral stuff on it.
Yeah.
But the band stuff is awesome.
Yeah.
If it was a whole album of that, I'd probably have different feelings about it. But I like Tim Drummond's playing, and Kenny Butchery, I've gone on record many times saying he's one of my favorites. You know,
I would also go with, Peter Criss and Gene Simmons. That's a rocking rhythm section right there.
What about,
holding it down?
Like for me, if I wanted to go in the direction that you're going there, maybe Jack Bruce, Ginger Baker.
Yeah.
As being just fucking hilarious and how bad they are. Larry, were you agreeing because you like Cream?
No. I don't know. I think that it's kind of similar to the whole Kiss thing.
There's some people who are like my favorite drummers and some people who are my favorite bass players, but they aren't always in the same band.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
E.T.
Yeah.
What's your insight?
Well, right now, mine is Rick and George, by far. I mean,
what about Phil Lesh, Bill Kreutzmann, and Mickey Hart?
Yeah, that's some badass shit right there. The great Grateful Dead.
In the way that they never lock in.
Yeah, it's so exactly. Locked in. Because if they ever locked in, then you would realize that, oh, so they weren't locked in.
Yeah, yeah. It would be a different rhythm section.
All right, sorry I interrupted you, E.T. It just came in my head and I just spouted it out.
It's just right now, Rick and George.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get to hear that stuff all the time, it's...
They really are incredible, man.
Yeah, and I have a lot. It's all relative, but I don't know. I tend to more choose people that I've actually seen and been around and got to be part of, and you know,
yeah,
more than I know more of.
You have more of a connection.
Yeah, I know more of a drummer or rhythm sections that you know, a drummer and a bass player.
Yeah,
it's you know, like a large band that's very successful. I don't know, man. There's a lot of them. Like you guys named off of a bunch. Yeah. I rub my hands across two left scars. Took the laces out of my tennis shoes. And I can't live with a city sucker home. Has anybody here got a 50-watt fuse? Laid down a groove like a monkey getting off. Stomping on a kick, a pounding on a tom. Did you ever get to heaven say, ooh, thank you?
Get Scared, say the 23rd song.
All right. Is your shit working over there?
Check, check.
All right. It's Song of the Week time.
Song of the Week. How about this? This record's a little old, but it's not too old. And I think it's we're going to play some Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros. And
tell us a little bit about this band, Charles.
I think they're from L.A. And the singer, I can't remember his name, but it's not Edward Sharpe. Edward Sharpe is a character that he came up with for a book that he wrote or something like that. I could be completely wrong. But
they ever played any shows with Mark Sparkle and the Tiny Miracles?
It would be badass.
Where are they from?
I think California.
And when did this record come out?
I think probably a year ago.
So is it a new band, or have they had
a new
more
band?
Records?
They've had the singer was in another band too, but that I can't remember. I don't know. I'm not a fucking Wikipedia here.
Well, I thought
I'm
you
not
might.
Some link that you could just click on, Starfire.
I thought you might know more about this shit. I want to
no,
know.
I don't. I just heard. I saw him on Letterman, and they played this song that I think is called "Home," and it was just I just loved it.
So, what song do you want to? You want is that the song?
Yeah,
you
I think we
do?
Should do that one. Because the other one that is people already know, I think they're a big hit. This is like more of a B-side one that I really like.
Is it on the B-side?
Well, no, but...
something on never told you about that night.
Why did you tell me?
While you were sitting in the back seat smoking a cigarette you thought was gonna be your last, I was falling deep, deeply in love with you. And I never told you till just now.
Yes, that's some great shit, man.
Yeah, man. I saw them do that song on Letterman, and it was so fucking cool, man. They just looked like a cult kind of. It looked like maybe the Manson family or something.
It's just like a feel-good kind of thing.
And all the whole record is just so feel-good. Like, they just jump around. They're great fucking.
Yeah, it's got a great vibe to it,
It was really, really cool, man.
I dig that.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
They're opening up for Dave Matthews when he comes to Dallas, so I might actually go.
Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros, and the record is called From Below.
Yeah.
So check that out, bitches.
I like the desert feel.
Yeah.
Colt Miller actually showed me that song when this came out, whenever it did, and because he's really into like bow, you know,
bow,
Colt
bow,
Miller of the Thrift Store Cowboy.
Yeah. He's really into that bow.
He's really good at writing that style, and he was really into this. And
yeah, it sounds like that music just plays in his head all the time. Yeah.
There's okay if you like this.
Like, he's just making cowboy boots and has this shit just playing.
If you like this and want to like dig a little further into a band who's kind of like this, but. There's a band called Spindrift, and they have this album. It's like a concept album about this like gunfighter. It's fucking badass. It's crazy, dude. You guys would love it. I mean,
Spindrift.
If you like this, yeah.
My friend Luke Dawson plays pedal steel with them.
Oh, are you
used
serious?
To live with me. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Moved out there to join that band and all that.
Right on.
Check them out, kids.
But that Edward Sharp record is really good. The whole thing's really good.
The first song on it's great too. You probably know the first song. It's like bum, 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 uh-huh. Bum, bum. It's like, I don't know. I don't even know the words to it.
It's one of those you probably heard before.
In a commercial or something. I think they got a lot of commercial use out of that song.
Right on. Well, there you go, bitches.
Good job, guys.
Yeah. Well, thanks for stopping by, everybody, to the podcast.
Yeah. Sorry about some of the audio problems that I'm sure you've experienced through this podcast, but, you know, shit happens.
We use old school gear in here.
Yeah, that's right. There's not a whole lot of digital bullshit going on in here. There's wires connected to other wires. And
this ain't no shake, rattle, and roll, Holmes.
That's right. There's tubes that sometimes fuck up. Sorry, folks. Anyway, have a good day.
For producer James the Robot, technical engineer Nikola Tesla, and your host Starfire on the Mountain and Charlie Shafter, this has been another episode of You Can't See Us.